Hello, my dear Monday morning students. I hope all of you are doing well. I really miss being with you. I missed it terribly this morning. I know that the situation is beyond our control, and what we're trying to do is keep each other busy by doing a little good learning over this time, even though it is long distance, so to speak. Of course, we are going to have a siyum. You can have a siyum long distance, so that we're going to have Bezrat Hashem Yitbarach when we are able to get together again. Hopefully, we'll all be healthy and well. We'll get together again as we did in the past, and this terrible scourge will be over. But it's very hard to have a siyum long distance. So that will wait till we're together again, and now we're going to do a little learning. And as we had decided, it is time to begin Sefer Daniel. So first and foremost, I want to remind you that Sefer Daniel does not appear in the section of Tanakh that's called Nevi'im. Sefer Daniel, on the contrary, appears in the section that's called Ketuvim, towards the very end of the section that's called Ketuvim. Daniel himself is counted by Rashi in Masechet Megillah as one of the 48 Nevi'im of Am Yisrael. However, his Sefer was not written under Nevuah. It was rather written by Ezra HaSofer in the state that we call Ruach HaKodesh, which is the way all of the Sfarim in Ketuvim were written. And so that's why it's there, as well as the fact that we will see that Daniel really is not like the other Nevi'im in that he wasn't sent to the people with a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His mission is very, very different than that of the Nevi'im that we might call the classic Nevi'im. We will also see that the book of Daniel is rather strange. It is quite difficult, hard to understand, but utterly, utterly fascinating. And I promise you that I'll do my best as we proceed to learn this incredible Sefer. So we will start. We need to start first with a little bit of history. I'm going to introduce you to the first Pasuk. We are going to do Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph of Sefer Daniel. And we start Bishnat Shalosh Lemalchut Yehoyakim, Melech Yehuda. In the third year of the kingdom of Yehoyakim, the king of Yehuda, Malach Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, Yerushalayim. Excuse me, I read it wrong. Ba Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, Yerushalayim, Vayotzar Alaha. So again, for clarity, in the third year of the kingdom of Yehoyakim, the Melech, the king of Yehuda, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, came to Yerushalayim and set siege on it. So we're way back, guys. We're taking a step way back in history because we have just been learning about the events at the beginning of the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. We are now going back historically to the end of the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. We are going back to the time that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, rose and became a master of the part of the world that we would call, I guess, the Middle East. It's the part of the world that we live in today. It says it was in the third year of the kingdom of Yehoyakim, but actually Rashi and the Malbim all explain to us, as well as Chazal, that it was not the third year of his reign, because Yirmiyahu tells us in his Sefer that Nebuchadnezzar became king of Babel when Jehoiakim reigned 4 years. So it's talking about something else. It's not the third year of his kingdom, of his ruling. It's the third year of his rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar. Simply put, Nebuchadnezzar became king in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. When he became king, he was able to conquer Nineveh first. Nineveh, if you remember, was the capital of Ashur, Assyria. And then he established himself as monarch of the entire area, marched to Jerusalem, and conquered Jehoiakim and set a tax on him and basically said, be a good boy and pay my taxes and everything is going to be okay. So Chazal tell us that for 3 years Jehoiakim was indeed a good boy and he paid his taxes. And then he decided that he didn't need to do that, that it would be perfectly okay if he stopped paying taxes. He was probably affected by some of his advisors, which is what happened to the last kings of Yehuda. They were pushed and pulled back and forth by their advisors, and some of the advice was not so good. Jehoiakim had a very good advisor at the time. His name, we know it very well, was Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu's advice came straight mishamayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and yet Jehoiakim did not really listen. And so he decided to stop paying taxes. Nebuchadnezzar waited for 3 years, and then he took his army, and as we read, he set siege on Jerusalem. Pasuk Bet. Vayitain Hashem biyado et Jehoiakim melech Yehuda, umiktzat klei beta Elokim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in his hands, in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, Jehoiakim, the king of Yehuda. In other words, he captured him. And some of the kelim, of the utensils of the Beit HaMikdash, vayiviehem eret shinar beit Elohav. And he brought these kelim back home to the land of Shinar, to the house of his god, small g, ve'et ha-kelim kevi beit otzar elokav. And he put the kelim, the utensils from the Beit HaMikdash, into the treasure house of the house of the treasury of the gods that he worshipped. Basically, it was the feeling of the kings who worshipped Avodah Zarah that their Avodah Zarah was the cause for their victory. And so they brought the spoils of war to the temple of the Avodah Zarah. So he brought Jehoiakim, who was, of course, one of the spoils of war, and he also brought the kelim. And because of putting the kelim, we will hear a lot about these kelim, because of putting the kelim in the treasury of his god, small g again, we will learn later on that his kingdom came to an end. Not only did his kingdom come to an end, but we know we have just celebrated Purim, and we remember that Ahasuerus took out the kelim much, much later, after the Persians conquered the Babylonians, and still had some of the kelim in the house of their Avodah Zarah. At any rate, what we learned now is that the king took Jehoiakim to Babel. It would seem that Jehoiakim did not last very long when he was taken to Babel. He might have died there. And meanwhile, Nebuchadnezzar appointed a son of his, Jehoiachin. This is Jehoiakim. It's a little difficult to discern if you're not looking at the text. Jehoiakim was made king, And, of course, he was warned to be a good boy, pay taxes, and be a vassal to the king of Bavel. Meanwhile, that's taking place in Eretz Yisrael. We are not going to talk a lot about what takes place in Eretz Yisrael for a long time. We are going to deal with Bavel. And so we have in Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer HaMelech LaAshpenaz, Rav Sarisav. And the king said to a certain Ashpenaz, that's a name, the head of his Sarisim. The Sarisim were the people who were in charge of prisoners, who were in charge of all kinds of things. They were in charge of the harem. Sarisim really means eunuchs, and they probably were eunuchs, because that's what the ancient kings would do. Then they knew that the harem was safe, because they were not interested in the women. And they knew that that they were very strong, because people who were made Sarisim really got a lot of strength. So he said to this Ashpenaz, Lahavi mibnei Yisrael umizera hamlucha umin hapartamim. He told this Ashpenaz to go to Eretz Yisrael and to bring A, from Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael means the ordinary people. Umizera hamlucha, people from the seed of royalty, meaning, of course, from Beit David. Umin hapartamim, and also from the partamim are the wealthy class, the big shots, so to speak. Don't you remember? The word is used in Megillat Esther. It is not probably originally Ivrit. It was probably some kind of Aramaic type of tongue, Chaldean, one of the languages of the ancient Middle East. And it came into the language, into Ivrit, via Bavel. So he says to the king, says to Ashpenaz, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bring me from the different classes of people that live in Yehuda, Yiladim Asher Ein Bahem Kol Mum. I want you to bring me young men who do not have any kind of blemish, V'tovei Mar'eh, young men who are very good looking, Umaskilim b'chol chachma, and who are very wise in every kind of knowledge, v'yodei da'at, and those who know da'at is ordinary behavior, like common sense. We want them to have common sense, umivinei mada, who understand how things work, v'asher koach bahem la'amod b'heichal hamelech. And who also have strength to literally stand in the sanctuary of the king, in the palace of the king. In other words, they should be strong physically. They should be good looking. They should not have any blemishes. And they should be very wise and knowledgeable of the world, and also have good common sense. Ulabdam sefer. V'lashon kazdim, and to teach them to read, l'amdam sefer, means to teach them how to read the books and to speak the language of the kazdim. Nebuchadnezzar's idea was to set up for himself a class of advisors, and what he thought he would do is take from all of the nations that he conquered the cream of the crop, the finest young men, the best looking, and the ones who are known for their wisdom and abilities, and train them in to be his advisors. And so because, excuse me, Yehuda was now his vassal state, you are all used to my coughing. Since Yehuda was his vassal state, he was able to to command that these young men be brought to him. V'yaman lahem, v'yaman lahem ha-melech dvar yom b'yomo, mipat bag ha-melech, umiyayin mishtav, legadlam shanim shalosh, umiktzatam ya'amdu lifnei ha-melech. And the king ordered that they would get their daily food each day from the finest food of the king. Pat bag hamelech is an expression that's used to mean the food that's prepared for the king's table. There is an alternate explanation for the pat bag hamelech. It was the food that was given to the king after it was first prepared for as a sacrifice for the Avodah Zarah. More about that later. It was the finest food available in the kingdom. And so the king commanded that these young men who were brought to be trained to be his advisors would be given every day the finest food, umiyayin mishtav, and they would also be given wine that the king himself drank, ulegadlam shanim shalosh, and this would go on to raise them, to train them for 3 years. After 3 years, they would be tested. Umiktzatam yamdu lifnei hamelech. And obviously, not all of them would be able to go into the service of the king. They would see which of them really deserved to go into the service of the king. Miktzatam, some of them. Vayehi bahem mibnei Yehuda. And there were among them, from the sons of Yehuda, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. 4 people mentioned by name, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. V'yasem lahem, sar hasarisim, shemot. So the sar, the head of the sarisim, gave them special names. He changed their names so that they would have Babylonian names. Vayasem l'Daniel Belshazzar. And the name that he gave Daniel was Belshazzar. Ulechananya Shadrach. Hananya was called Shadrach. Ulemishael Meshach. And Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah Avadnego. Azariah was called Avadnego. There was an old, many, many years ago in my youth, I remember that there was in the United States a spiritual, a Negro, one of the black, at the time we said Negro, now it's not proper. The blacks of America would sing songs. One of them was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And yes, those are these 3 people, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I don't know about the names for the 3 of them, but the name for Daniel, Belshazzar, when we see that belt at the beginning, it's, yes, it's Baal. And so Daniel is given a name that really is means something like a servant of the Baal. And this gives Daniel a very uncomfortable feeling. He's afraid that he's being primed to really be some kind of priest or some kind of figure that has something to do with the Avodah Zarah of the area. Vayasem Daniel Alibo, asher lo yitga'al mipat bag hamelech uviyayin mishtav. And because Daniel, the fact that he was called by the name of the Avodah Zarah, gave him this feeling that he must not allow this to happen. He can't be associated with the Avodah Zarah. And so Vayasam Alibo, he determined that he was not going to yitga'al, means to disgust himself, to dirty himself from this patbag hamelech. This is where that meaning comes, patbag, that it was food that was originally prepared for the Avodah Zarah, and with the wine that he drank. Vayivakesh misar hasarisim asher lo yitgaal. And so he spoke to the head of the sarisim, asking him that he should not be forced to be dirtied, to be disgusted, yitgaal, by this food, that he shouldn't be forced to eat it. Notice, please, that it's only Daniel who is making this request and not the other three. And it's mainly because, according to the Malbim, when he heard this name Belshazzar that was given to him, he was really worried that he was being primed and trained for a special role that had something to do with the Avodah Zarah. And so he felt that what he was doing, that there was a reason to put his life in danger by asking for a special favor, because it wasn't the food alone, but rather he really thought that he was going to be made some kind of functionary of the Avodah Zarah. However, Vayitain ha'Elokim et Daniel lechesed ulerachamim lifnei sar hasarisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Daniel find favor, kindness. Chesed is kindness, and rachamim, compassion, in front of this head of the sarisim, the chief of the sarisim. Vayomer sar hasarisim leDaniel, yoreane et Adoni Melech. And the head of the sarisim, said to Daniel, I am really afraid what the king will say, because asher mina et ma'achalchem ve'et mishtechem, it was the king who decided what your food should be and what your drink should be. Asher lama yire et pneichem zoafim min hayeladim asher kigilchem. Why should he see that your faces look dark? In other words, that you don't look as well fed as the other young men that are your age. V'chiyavtem et roshi lamelech. And then the king will have my head if he sees that you do not look as good as the others, that you don't look as if you've been as well fed. An interesting thing is that the Sar HaSarisim, the head of the Sarisim, listens to what Daniel says when Daniel asked for special food, and did not immediately have him killed or bring him before the king or whatever, but actually was considering doing what Daniel had asked. But he said, there is a problem, because what will you eat instead? I can't have you look as if I've been starving you, because the king would blame me. And it's my responsibility to make sure that all of the young men your age will be fed fine food. And so in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Daniel HaMeltzar, Asher Mina Sar HaSarisim Al Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Notice, please, that even though it's only Daniel who is asking, he asks not just for himself, but he asks also for the three others, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. I forgot to mention earlier, please note, Daniel and the other three are all Mizera Beit David. They are direct descendants of the house of David. They are royal stock. And what Daniel is asking for is not just for himself, but he's also asking it for the other three. The interesting thing is, notice that he speaks to the Meltzar. He speaks to the waiter. And he says, it probably could be that after Daniel spoke to the Sar HaSarisim, the Sar HaSarisim basically didn't know what to do. He demurred. He said, no, I'm willing to listen to you. However, I'll be in terrible trouble if you don't look good. So Daniel decided that he was going to make a deal with the waiter. It was a deal that he couldn't refuse, because what he told him this waiter, Meltzar, the person that brought the food to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he said, Nasna et avodecha yamim asara. Let's make a test. Let's make a deal and test your servants for 10 days. V'yitnu lanu min hazeroim v'nochla umayim v'nishte. And just give us seeds and we will eat min hazeroim seeds and raw vegetables and we'll eat them. And the only thing that we'll drink is water. We are not going to take any wine. We'll have seeds and water. V'yeyra'u lefanecha mar'enu u'marei ha'yiladim ha'ochlim et pat bag ha'melech v'kasher tireh asei im avodecha. And then be very careful to see how we look and compare our appearance to the appearance of the other young men who are eating the food of the king, the patbag of HaMelech. And then, if we look okay, if you'll see that we look okay, aseyim avodecha, then you may do as you feel is correct with your servants. Basically, he's saying, let's do a test case. Do it for 10 days. For 10 days, no matter what it is that you're bringing to the other people, bring us just seeds and according to some fresh veggies as well, seeds, nuts, and some fresh veggies, and water, and then look at our faces and compare our appearance to the appearance of all of the other young men who are being fed the food of the king. And then you decide. If the experiment is working, then keep it up. If it's not, do as you wish. Vayishma lahem ladavar hazeh. And this Meltzar, this waiter, the bringer of the food, listened to them. He thought it was a good idea. We'll see why in a minute. Vayinasem yamim asara, and he tested them for 10 days. Umiktzat yamim asara, nire marehen tov uvriye basar mikol hayiladim ha'ochlim et patbag hamelech. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance was very good, and they looked much healthier. Briye basar actually means, husky, healthy. It really means fat, but it doesn't mean fat in the negative way that we think of it today. It means that they looked good. They looked well fed, more so than any of the other young men who were eating all that fine food of the king. But now we see what made the waiter, what made that food bringer so cooperative? Vayihi ha-meltzar nosei et pat bagam v'yayin mishtehem v'notein lahem zeronim. It was pretty cute. Daniel's idea was wonderful because, you see, this waiter got to take the food for the four of them. All that good food that was prepared for the Avodah Zarah and for the king, and the delicious wine that was prepared only for the king, he got to take it home. I could just see his wife saying, boy, this is great stuff. And all he had to do in return was bring some zeronim, bring some seeds and nuts and all things that did not have to be prepared for them instead, whereas he and his family got the benefit of this food that was for them. It might sound familiar to you at this point. You might remember something because, you see, it's not so long ago that we celebrated Purim, and we always learn in the Midrash, what did Esther eat when she was in the king's palace? And the answer that Chazal give is, at the time that Esther was taken into the palace of Ahasuerus, there was one of the king's servants, was somebody called, you remember the name from Megillah, Hatach. This Hatach, according to Chazal, was Daniel, who was no longer in a good position. He was in a lowly position, but he served as an advisor to Esther in a very personal way, in which he told her how he had been able to survive, and not just survive, but actually thrive, while he was eating nothing but zeronim, but seeds and nuts and whatever else that needed no preparation, that he ate just as it came, and he drank water. And that was, of course, what Esther did as well. More about that will come in as we proceed. We are up to Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'hayiladim ha'ela arba'atam natan lahem ha'elokim mada v'sechel v'chol sefer v'chochma v'daniel hevin v'chol chazon v'chalamot. And so we learn that these young men, it says Yuladim, but it doesn't mean boys, they were young men. And it tells us these young men, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them special knowledge and understanding in every kind of book, reading books, and Chochmah, and every kind of wisdom known to man at the time. And Daniel, aside from the knowledge of books and the knowledge of understanding, Hevin b'chol chazon, he also understood visions, v'chalomot, and he could interpret dreams. Daniel was given a special power in which he understood visions and dreams. Ulemiksat hayemim asher amar hamelech lahaviyam, vayiviyem sar hasarizim lifnei Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of the days, it really means the 3 years, that the king said to bring them after they were trained for 3 years, the Sar HaSarisim, the head of the Sarisim, brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. Vayidaber itam hamelech, v'lo nimtzam mikulam, k'Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. And the king spoke to them. He interviewed them, so to speak. He tested them. He tested all of the young men that had been trained in this 3-year period, and he didn't find any of them as good as Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, by Ya'amdu Lifnei HaMelech. And they were therefore appointed to stand before the king, to be his advisors, to be at his beck and call whenever he needed them. Of all of the people that were fed the special diet that the king had developed, and probably with the help of some of his servants, none of them, the brain food was those seeds and the water, and of course a little help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah had. V'chol dvar chochmat bina, Asher bikesh mehem hamelech, vayimtzaim eser yadot al kol hachartumim ha'ashufim asher b'chol malchuto. And every kind of wisdom and of understanding that the king asked from them, he found them 10 times above all of his magicians, the Chartumim and the Ashafim that were in his whole kingdom. They knew better. Vayehi Daniel ad shnat achat lekoresh hamelech. And the first perek ends by telling us that Daniel remained in the king's employ, or perhaps we should say in a top position in the kingdom, until the first year of Koresh, the king, Cyrus, the king, the Persian. And so Daniel remained in the king's employ as long as there were kings of Paras. That is, of course, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a son, Belshazzar, also Bel, notice, very, very similar to Daniel's name. This Belshazzar, as we will see, will be overthrown by a combination of two forces, the forces of Madai and the forces of Paras. The king of Madai at the time is a certain Daryavesh, Darius I, and the king of Paras is this Cyrus Koresh, known as Cyrus the Great, historically, who was the son-in-law of that Darius, which is why very shortly after they conquered the Babylonian Empire, just 1 year later, the Medes and the Persians became one kingdom. And it would seem that Daniel was in this wonderful position of being chief advisor to the king throughout this time. There were some ups and downs in his position, but essentially he was in the king's employ. It would seem that once the Persian king took over, what usually happens, you know, you have a new king, or you have a new owner of a company, and all of the previous employees sort of hand in their resignations to see who the owner wants to place in their stead, if he wants some of his own people. And it would seem that when the Persian kings began ruling, then they lowered the positions of all of the people that were working with the Babylonian kings, Daniel among them. That's why Chazal say he is called in Megillat Esther, Hatach, which is like Hatach, cut off, cut down. He was cut down. He was not in the position that he was in before. So that's Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph of Daniel. All of this is going on, please notice. This is going on, just to take a little historical step back, at the end of the time of Malchut Beit David. The Beit HaMikdash at this point is still there. The king at this point is probably Tzidkiyahu, because remember that Daniel and his friends were trained for at least 3 years, and the king after Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, only ruled for about 6 months, and then it was Tzidkiyahu for 11 years. So that gives you the timeline. It is also important to know that it's really the time of the great Navi Yechezkel. So the time that we're talking about has the Navi Yirmiyahu in Yehuda, the Navi Yechezkel is in the Babylonian Empire, and Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are in the palace, in the king's palace in Bavel. So it's actually quite a time that we're talking about. So let's see where we go from here. Uvishnat Shtayim, I'm starting Perek Bet. And Perek Bet, you really need to use your imagination. You have to see the words in your mind's eye. Uvishnat Shtayim l'malchut Nebuchadnezzar. When we'll get together, I will give you a diagram of this. In the second year of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, Chalam Nebuchadnezzar Chalomot. Nebuchadnezzar dreams. Vatit pa'em rucho. Ushnato niyata alav. Do you remember the word vatit pa'em? But it's not quite the same. Do you remember when the word was vatipa'em rucho? Who had a dream and it said vatipa'em rucho? Yes, indeed. It was Paro with Yosef. When Yosef was put in the boar, Yosef was in the pit. And he interpreted the dreams of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfot. And if you remember, the Sar HaMashkim was returned to his position. And Paro had a dream. Vatipa'em, the Torah tells us, Vatipa'em Rucho, in other words, he's losing his breath. His heart is beating very fast. His spirit, he's like terrified by this dream he had. And here it has, Vatipa'em, and of course that makes it stronger. He's not only terrified, he is twice as terrified. He can't catch his breath, Nebuchadnezzar, from the dream that he had. And we will see what the difference is between the dreams of Paro and the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar in a moment. And so we have his spirit, Vatipa'em, it's like he's rattling. He is just, it's making him crazy. He is terrified by this dream. And he couldn't get back to sleep. His sleep was broken. Shnato niyata alav, Rashi says, his sleep was broken. And so does Mitzudat Tzion say, Shena, shnato is shena. And niyata inyan krita ushvira. His sleep was broken. He couldn't get back to sleep. He had this terrible dream, and he couldn't get back to sleep. Vayomer hamelech likro lachartumim v'la ashafim v'la mechashfim v'la kazdim lahagid lamelech halomotav vayovou v'yamdu lifnei hamelech. And so the king did just what Paro did, exactly what Paro did. He said, bring all my magicians, bring the Chartumim and the Ashafim and the Machashfim. And the Kazdim were people from the Chaldeans that were also very wise, supposedly, in dream interpretation. All these people were supposedly experts in interpreting dreams. And he said, the king Nebuchadnezzar said, bring all these people, lahagid lamelech halamotav, to tell the king his dreams, vayavou veyamdu lifnei hamelech. And they came, all these magicians, and they stood before the king. Pasukimel, vayomer lahem hamelech, chalom chalamti, vatipa'em ruchi lada'at et hachalom. And notice here he says, vatipa'em. In other words, I really need to know. The king said to them, I dreamt a dream, and my spirit is so anxious. I can't catch my breath. I need to know what this dream is. Vayedabru hakazdim lamelech aramit. I know you were waiting for this. I know that you always knew that Sefer Daniel, a good part of Sefer Daniel, is written in Aramit. And you were probably wondering why suddenly we were reading Ivrit and it was so nice and pleasant. Well, from this point until about half the Sefer, we are going to have, the writing is going to be in Aramit, in Aramaic. And the reason it's done that way is that from here, from this point on, Daniel is interacting with the court. And everything that happened in the court, that happened between the king and the courtiers and all of the officers of the king, all of this, the language was Aramit. And so it tells us, Daniel tells us, those people, the Kazdim, the advisors, the Chaldeans, spoke to the king in Aramit. And they said, Malka la'almim chayi. I have to read very slowly when I read Aramaic. O king, live forever. Got it? Malka la'almin chayeh. Emor chalma la'avdecha. Upishra Nechave. Just tell the dream to your servants, and we will be able to tell you its interpretation. Anei Malka v'amar l'kazda'e, milta amini azda, hein la dahodionani chelma, upishre hadamin tit avdun, uvatechem nevoli yitzamun. Whoa. And the king answered, and he said to the Chaldeans, and I am going to read to you from Metsudat David so that we have it in Ivrit. He says, Hadavar halach mimeni. The king raised his voice, and he said to the Kazdim, Milta mini azda. It went away from me. I don't remember what it is, what it was that I dreamt. Im lo todiyu li et hachalom, hein la tahodu ununi chelma, if you will not be able to inform me what it was that I dreamt, upishre, and what its interpretation is, then you are going to be hadamin tit avdun, you're going to be chopped up, uvatechem nevoli to Simon, and your houses are going to be destroyed and made into pits of garbage. Did you understand? Nebuchadnezzar could not remember his dream. That's why with Paro it says vatipa emrucho, and with Nebuchadnezzar it says vatitpa emrucho. Because you see, Paro remembered the dream very well and was very frightened by it. Nebuchadnezzar only recalled that he was terrified by whatever it was that he dreamt, and he couldn't remember what it was. So it was doubly frightening to him. He was terrified, and he was also doubly terrified because he couldn't remember what the dream was. And he threatened his magicians and the Chaldeans, and he said to them, listen guys, you are supposed to be magicians. You are supposed to be knowledgeable. You are supposed to know what you're doing. You have been in my employ for a long time. So now do what you have to do and tell me what I dreamt. And also tell me what the dream means. Tell me the pitaron. Otherwise, you are going to be kind of got killed, and your houses are going to be destroyed. Pretty scary, right? Pasuk vav, vehein chelma upishre tahavon matnan. Univizma viyikar sagi tekablun min kadamai. Lahain chelma upishre ha chavoni. And he says, and if indeed you will be able to tell me the chelma, the dream, upishre, and its interpretation, tahavon matnan, you will get gifts. Univizba viyikar, you'll get all kinds of wealth. And vikar, like with Mordechai, remember the Yehudim, it's a ora v'simcha v'sason, vikar, honor, sagi, great, you will get great honor and great gifts, you will get min kademai from me. Therefore, my friends, tell me now, you want to get the gifts, you want to get the honor, you want to be raised in your position, then tell me the dream and let me know what the interpretation is. You want the dreams. Ano tin yanut v'amrin, malka chelma yomar lavdohi, upishra nahachaveh. And the advisors, they really do not know what he's talking about, let me tell you. And so they say, again, tin yanut is like mishneh. A second time they raise their voices and they say to him, Malka, O great king, Just tell us the dream. Tell your servants the dream. And as soon as you tell us the dream, we will certainly be able to interpret it and bring it before you and say it very, very clearly. Onei Malkava Amar Min Yatsiv Yada Ani Di Idana Antun Zvonim Kol Kavel Di Chazitun Di Azda Mini Milta. And so the king says to them, time to take a drink, just like we do when we are face to face. And he says, Be'emet, Min Yatsiv, the king says to them, Min Yatsiv, in truth, Yodea Ani, Asher Ka'et Hazot Atem, you are going to be given over to death. Let's start from the beginning, so I'll stop coughing. The king raised his voice and he said, in truth, I know that you are in big trouble and you are going to be put to death because I have told you already that the dream I had has gone away. I cannot remember what it was. Dihein choma lot hoda anuni. If you are not going to tell me what this dream is, chada hi dotchan, umila kidva ushchita, hin mantun lemeimar kadamai adi inda yishtanela hen chelma, amruli veinda di pishrei dehachavuma. I want you to look at the beginning of this pasuk. It's really very interesting because there was an expression that we saw in Megillat Esther. Remember, Achat Dato Lahamit? When it said anybody that everybody knows, Esther says to Mordechai, when Mordechai came to her and said, Esther, you must go to the king. And she said, everybody knows that anybody who goes into the king's chamber without being invited, Achata Tolamit, there is only one rule that applies to him. Whether the king likes him or not, whether he comes in peace or not, it's off with his head. And this expression is here in the Aramaic. It says, Dihein chelma lo tahoda anuni. If you will not inform me what this dream is, chada hi datchon. Did you hear that expression? It's exactly like in the Megillah. Chada, one is your dat, one is the law. You have one law. And you know what it is? You are going to be killed. Your thing is, your fate is, excuse me, that you are going to be put to death. I want to read you from the Metsudat David so we'll understand the Aramaic. He says, Im hachalom lo todieni, lo todioli. Then achati mishpatchem, your law, your din will be one. Ratzolomar hamishpat she'amarti, hadamin titavdun v'gomer, that you'll be put to death. Hamishpat hazeh yeh al kulchem ein naki. That same din is going to be on all of you. Nobody's going to get out of this innocent. If you cannot immediately tell me this dream that I had, you are all going to be put to death. And don't think that you can make up a story. Because if you make up a story, I'm going to recognize it. He says, Umila udvar sheker. If you're going to prepare a story, something that's a lie, to tell me that that's what I dreamt, I want you to know that I will be able to recognize something as the dream that I had. And if you just make up a story and tell it to me, I will know if it's a lie. Because it would seem that he saw that they were speaking to each other, and Metzudat Zevit tells us that Ani ro'eh the asher hechantem pitaron kazav v'nishchat lomar sheyore al mashi yeh ba'achrit hayamim. It would seem that they prepared a little story, and they said the dream is talking about something that's going to be in the far distant future. Ki tachshivu asher a'amin lachem. He said, because you're thinking that if you tell me a story about something that's going to be in the far distant future, then I'll believe you, because how am I supposed to know what's going to happen in the far distribution? Ad asher yavor hazman shenikpa v'yarichu yamim v'yishkach hakol. Because you're thinking that everything will be forgotten, you know, that a lot of time will pass, and whatever it is that you told me I dreamt, I'm going to forget and everything that you said. However, rak hachalom imruli, but if you tell me the dream, I will recognize it. Eidabaze, asher hapitaron tagiduli. I know that if you tell me what I dreamt, I will recognize that it's the truth. I will recognize what it really means. Because even though I don't remember now, if you tell me a little, I will understand. I will know. Ucha omer lo a'amin od me'ata el apiptaron, rak k'shetomru li hachalom. They were trying to say, we'll give you an interpretation. And he says, no. Don't give me an interpretation. Don't try to push me off by saying the dream meant. I want you to tell me first and foremost what the dream was. Once you tell me what the dream was, I will know. I will recognize if that's the dream that I had. And if I recognize it, I'll be ready to hear the interpretation that you're willing to give me. But first, tell me the dream. Do not skip over that part. Tell me the dream. The inda di pishre tahachavunani. And then I will know that whatever pitaron, whatever interpretation you give me for the dream is correct. Basically, what he's asking them is something impossible. He brings his advisors before him. And he said to them, I had a terribly frightening dream. It was so frightening that it broke my sleep up and I couldn't get back to sleep. But I don't remember the dream. So I'm calling you, all my advisors, and I'm saying to you, would you kindly tell me, A, the dream that I had that frightened me so much, and B, what it really means. So this is lesson number one, my friends. Lesson number one, we learn what is happening in Malchut Babel, in the kingdom, actually the empire of Babel, of Babylonia, that has very recently taken over the world, and the mighty king, Nebuchadnezzar, who has ordered that there be brought before him some of the finest young men in the kingdom, and he has selected Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to be his personal, and in his personal entourage. And very shortly after this happens, the king has a dream that has frightened him out of his wits, and he doesn't remember the dream, and he will not entertain any interpretations until he knows what the dream is, and he wants his advisors to tell him that. So, have a wonderful week, and hopefully we will come back next week with another presentation of Sefer Daniel. If you have any questions, you might think of writing them to me via my email, which is, it's my name, it's very easy, pearl.burrow@strudelgmail.com. pearl.burrow@gmail.com. Yes. So pearl.burrow@gmail.com. Because it's very hard for me to just keep talking without hearing all of your wonderful comments. If you would be so kind, I would love to hear from you. And then we can take up next week with your comments. I hope to be ready next week before the regular time of our class, so that we will be able to have some kind of say there. Bye-bye. Thank you.